Andrea is going to read a roll call. And so if you could all answer when she does that, I'll turn the time over to her.
Okay, hello everyone. Could you please unmute your phones unless you have a lot of background noise? Then keep them muted. But I plan on reading the members and alternates and then any other members of the community that joined. It looks like I can see a lot of your names as well, so that's a great feature. But just for the recording, I'd like to have you say your names. Okay. Mayor Bragger. Mayor Jepson. Mayor Witt. Mayor Schoblum.
Here.
Let's see. Councilmember Ballantyne.
Here.
Councilmember McConnell. Mayor Walker. Mayor Silvestrini. Mayor Burton.
I am here.
Mayor Cargiola.
Here.
Councilmember Brady. Mayor Cafusi.
Mayor Cafusi has another meeting. She asked me to fill in for her.
Great. And your name?
Austin Taylor.
Oh, great. Okay, I see you. Thank you. Mayor Searle. Councilmember Heyer.
I'm here.
Ben Hewitt.
I'm here.
Heidi Goodhart. Hi, I see you, Heidi. Thanks. Andrea Olson. Laura Hansen.
I'm here.
Chris Lee.
Here.
Brett McGiff. I know he had another meeting that ended at 10, so he said he'd be joining later. David Foster. Evan Curtis.
I'm here.
Helen Peters.
Here.
Jeff Euler.
Yes, I'm here.
Kent Anderson.
Here.
Nathan Peterson. Lars Anderson. Mark Brady.
Bradley, here.
Oh, sorry about that. Mercedes Mastis.
Here.
Peter Tang. Roland Stanger. Shauna Meekum.
Roland's here.
Okay, thank you. Steve Shauna Call.
Shauna Meekum is here as well.
Thank you, Shauna. Thank you, Steve. Tim Harpst. Travis Olson.
Here.
Okay, great. And I see several other people. I don't know the best way to do this. I think I'm going to take a screenshot of what I see. And then if I could have each of you also email me and let me know just in case I don't get you on the yeah, there's some numbers that are coming up that I won't know. So please just email me so that we can get started on our meeting and we'll get you on the attendance. Thank you. Back to you,
hey,
Mayor.
Andrea, it's Jory. Nathan Peterson, it looks like he's on. And so you called him, but it didn't.
Right. I think I will take a screenshot because I do see many, many names. And then hopefully the people who just show up as numbers for me will email in so that we can get them on the minutes for attending. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Nathan Peterson is on.
Great. Okay. I'm going to mute myself. Back to you, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you so much, Andrea. All right. We're going to go ahead with our first item. And hopefully you've had a moment to look at the minutes. I'll now entertain a motion to approve those minutes. If you speak up to approve them or second them, please give your name as well. I'd appreciate that. So now I will make I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of March 11th, 2020.
Chair, this is Rich Heyer from Ogden. I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Rich. Do you have a second?
Mayor Burton, I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. All right. Any further comment on the minutes? Then we, all in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. Next item on the agenda is the chair's report. And I would like to open this section up for public comment or for your comments. Computer, if you're on the computer, if you could write in your chat box that you'd like to respond, then we'll call on you, except I don't know what we're going to do with those that we don't have names on. So if you're on the phone, just pipe up and give your comments, and we'll see if we can do this in an organized manner. So active transportation activities are continuing right now. They continue to be allowed despite the many restrictions that we're experiencing this time. And we're not confined to our homes, so people are out on the trails, out on the roads, and this is what we like to see. I've had a little bit of concern with the really nice weather, especially that we had yesterday and today. The trails might be becoming more congested. Are we still maintaining our social distancing? I just wanted to ask you a few questions. You can answer one or all of these questions if you want to, but I wanted to get your perspective as we go through and navigate this pandemic. What do you think the role is for the active transportation at this time? How do you think this pandemic has affected biking and walking? What types of things are you observing during this time? And how do you think the active transportation can help prepare communities for events like this in the future? So those are the questions. Let's go ahead and we'll see if we can. Okay, it looks like Kim, could you comment for us?
Good morning. I work in public health, and there's a bunch of us on here. We actually have made a document that we sent out to the community that we encourage people to get out and exercise and do things actively out in the community, but be sure to make sure to maintain your distance. And unfortunately, we've kind of seen out in our community a lot of people, especially congregating since some of the national parks and some of the state parks are closed. They're congregating and doing things in areas that we normally don't have anybody out there to help out. So I don't know if other communities are having a problem with people going out and doing activities in areas that they normally don't have people doing activities in. And so we've kind of ran into our emergency management, our emergency teams, if there's something that happens over this week or weekend with spring break, there might be some problems. So it's great to promote it, but we hope that it's promoted appropriately.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I have some of the same concerns. We've got Dave Iltis. Is that how you say it, Dave?
Yes.
Could you go ahead?
So there's a website out there called Streetlight Data, and Streetlight Data is showing that currently in Salt Lake County, traffic is down, driving is down by 63%. And they have kind of a national, but county by county data, and in the Bay Area in California, driving's down by 90% or so. This is a clear opportunity, with a pun intended there. If you look out at the air is clearer than it's been in, you know, as far as I can remember. It's astounding how clear it is. And what we see from this is that the enemy is cars, and cars are what caused the air pollution in the valley. And so the role of active transportation here is, this is what it is. I mean, when you see the lack of cars out there right now and how clear the air is and how empty the streets are, that just bolsters the role for active transportation.
Great comment. Yes, thank you.
And sorry, just to add, also the buttons that you have to push for pedestrians are being turned off in at least a section of Salt Lake, and this is a great opportunity to turn them off for good. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Matthew says, in Stockton, I've seen a lot more families out walking together while still maintaining social distancing from people in other households. That's good to hear. That's good. And Kim says she's loving the clean air, and for sure, that's a great, if there is a silver lining, there's one of them right there for sure. And of course, that helps with the lungs and hopefully helps mitigate the virus as well. Okay, Becca from Salt Lake says, we're seeing many people walking in the street to maintain social distance. Salt Lake City is working on some open street or lane repurposing to provide more space for people. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, great ideas here. Do we have anyone on the phone that would like to comment?
Mayor, this is Hugh. And just one thought on the last bullet point, you know, how can active transportation help prepare communities for events like this in the future? And not being a health expert and you know, only following this as well as I can, it does seem that anybody that unfortunately comes down with this terrible virus, right, those that are in healthier populations are recovering more easily than those with underlying health conditions. And I think reemphasizing the fact that healthy communities, right, both individuals and communities as a whole, are going to be able to rebound from pandemics like this better than those that are unhealthy. And active transportation really plays a key component in the health of communities and being active. And so I think that message is more relevant than ever with our current situation, and just reminding folks that health and movement and travel actively all come together to make more resilient communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. For sure, that's the case. And hopefully Andrew's with us here. I think I saw his name up here. I'm trying to convince him that the Active Transportation Committee is the most important branch of the Wasatch Front Regional Council. And now more than ever, that's apparent. All right, Dirk Burton says, with traffic reduced, it's more difficult for me to pass a line of automobiles during rush hour. However, I'm enjoying riding on the empty streets. Okay, that's great. Stay safe. Mayor Karjola. That's why I didn't say mayor, because I wasn't absolutely sure that was you. Sorry. Does someone have a comment? Okay.
Hello.
Yes. Are you there?
That was Helen. Helen, looks like you're cut in and out a little bit.
Okay. I can't hear Helen yet. Hopefully she can get that.
No, I'm good. I don't need anything. I'm on mute.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Ellen. Kim Clausing says maybe a promotion of allowing the at-risk population times on pathways and trails in communities. That's an interesting concept and maybe a good idea. Well, if anyone else wants to comment on that, they're welcome to. Andrew Gruber says UDOT reports that traffic volumes are down by about one third. Truck volumes have not declined as supply chains continue. ATC is number one. Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you for the update. Kim Clausing says, our Department of Aging is seeing those stuck at home wanting to get out but scared to go places. Yeah. And that's a difficult thing. That's a tough one. Bert Granberg says, somewhat disappointed that high school and college track facilities have been closed in many areas. Seems like they could remain open with posted instructions that 6-foot distancing be maintained. They can help take recreation pressure off parks. That's a good point. Something we should look into. Heidi, do you want to give us your Strava update?
Yeah, if I can. I'm also going to just share my screen for those people that are on the web and can look. So at UDOT, we've been purchasing Strava Metro, and we have partnerships with MAG and Wasatch Front and UTA to help purchase the data. And I think you guys can see my screen now. I'll give a holler if you can't. We've seen kind of tremendous growth on Strava. This is just the bicycle data set, but we are getting walk, hike, and run data as well, so the pedestrian-oriented data. And basically, throughout March, we've seen 102% increase in the number of total trips that are being logged on the application. Weekend trips are up about 46%, and we've seen a 75% increase in the number of people that are on the app. And this is kind of interesting because this is, you know, tremendous growth. It also gives us really good information on where these people are recreating. And, you know, we're actively reaching out to locations where we have ground counters to kind of calibrate and understand how many people are out on our trails so we can understand kind of what the overall use is, because Strava only represents a small percentage of the population and just users that are out on the system. And so this can give us better insight onto, you know, are our trail facilities or roadways or bike lanes kind of functioning at capacity? What are the volumes in some of our parks? And we'll just get some better ideas. Looking at the demographics of the individuals that are contributing to the data set, you know, we have kind of the biggest group of people that are age 20 to 34 and then 35 to age 54 that are, you know, actively out there and contributing. But we do have people kind of in those younger and older age groups as well. As you guys kind of know, there's not a lot of traveling and tourism going on right now. And so this outside ring is the 2020 data. And typically about half of our data set comes from people that are visiting Utah. They come here to mountain bike in Park City and Moab and St. George. You know, road biking is really popular. And right now, you know, we're only a quarter of the way through the year, but the visitor percentage is down considerably. So we'll be able to kind of keep tabs on, you know, what that means for active transportation. And it's kind of cool to see that, you know, people are, you know, in light of gyms being closed and yoga studios and other kind of recreational outlets, people are getting out on the streets and walking and biking kind of in the traditional fashion. And, you know, if we can be kind of, you know, I can't particularly go out and promote a private sector company like Strava, but if we can keep encouraging use and promoting people to get out and log their activities, you know, this gives us a lot of insight on, you know, how we can better plan for active transportation in the future.
That's great, Heidi. Thank you so much. That's great information, and I can see how that'd be very valuable, especially, or not especially, but also for cities that are working to apply for grants to complete trails in their cities and things. This information would be very valuable. And for a number of other reasons, for sure. Thank you, Heidi. Okay, Tim Harbst says, bicycling and jogging in Emigration Canyon appears to be down by about 1/3, so exercising is still alive. That's good to hear. Okay, Chris Lee says, I want to add that we should try to promote people as per the new CDC recommendation, wearing masks when they are out and about. Okay. For sure. I have had a problem breathing with my mask on, and I don't know if anyone's got a solution to that. I think, but out walking and running or biking, I don't know. Are there masks out there that work while you're exercising and breathing heavy? I'd like to know. Brett says, I want to say thank you from the public health side of things for everybody being so supportive during this outbreak. It is difficult, but the guidelines we promote will protect our most vulnerable populations. I appreciate that, Brett. I'm under the understanding that Utah is doing as well as almost any state in the union controlling this virus so far, and we want to continue to do that and to be careful. And so hopefully as the weather warms up, we will still continue to practice those guidelines. Jim Price says, MAG has preliminary urban trail increases of 77% to 81%. That's great to hear. Great to hear. As long as we're practicing social distancing. So,
Mayor, can I make just a quick comment on that?
Yes, you may, Jim. Thank you.
This is a request. I got a request from Heidi, who had this brilliant idea that we should be tracking our increases in active transportation all over the state. And we have one of the few sites that we've been doing actual mechanical counting for a number of years, since about 2011. And so we went out and gathered data from a sampling of our counters that are scattered all over the county. And what we're seeing is this is about 81% above average for this time of year.
Than we've
seen before. And it is amazing just being out. I was out yesterday about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, gathering some of this data and seeing people everywhere on trails, on roads, on sidewalks, on bikes, on scooters, on foot. It is absolutely amazing. If only we could maintain this into the future.
For sure. Yeah. That would be great. I think maybe this COVID-19 is doing more to promote our health than it is to hurt. I don't know. I don't want to say that for those of you that have it, because I've heard it's nasty. So, but yeah, it's great to see. And hopefully they're maintaining their distance in relation to other pedestrians on the road.
For the most part, it seems like we have the capacity on our trail system for them to do that.
That's good.
But it's just very exciting to see that people have an outlet for all their pent-up energy.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And hopefully it's a trend and people will continue to get out and get outside and get that fresh air and exercise. Let's hope that becomes habit. All right, thank you, Jim. Kim Clausing says, please promote mask wearing appropriately. Okay, and says just wear masks when around others. Okay. Shauna Meekin says, the CDC recommends wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain. For example, grocery stores and pharmacies, especially in areas of significant community-based transmission. And that's on the CDC website. Thank you, Shauna, for bringing that up. Becca from Salt Lake says, basic cloth masks don't keep you from breathing that much, but they do help filter out droplets. They're not nearly as restrictive as breathing with the N95. Okay, that's good to know. Now I just need to find a seamstress. So, okay, Chris Lee says, Yes, I should have grabbed language. Many people aren't aware that they should be using them in public locations at all because of the sort of reversal from what we said before. Remember to grab your mask when you are making that bike ride to the grocery store. Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris. Rich Heyer, you have a comment.
Yeah, Mayor, thanks for recognizing me. Up here in Ogden, whenever I get out, my wife and I went out to the park the other day that's adjacent to our home, and there's a lot of people, but everybody kind of makes a wide berth around each other, so you maintain that social distancing. Our trails have a lot of people on them, but same thing. And I've got to think, if we keep things in perspective, going to the park, and even though other people are in the park, as long as they're not close to you, it's certainly better than going to the grocery store twice a week. Mm-hmm. Or some places like that. I think we just got to kind of be prudent and wise in what we do. Certainly if we're going to be in close proximity with others, the mask is the appropriate tool to take there. So, but I think people are being pretty prudent about this. Nobody wants to get this awful virus. So, but we just need to keep encouraging.
For sure. Thank you, Rich. Yes, I'm so glad to hear that people are still keeping their distance, because that has been a concern. And I know in the grocery store, people are very careful where I go to keep their distance. And I think that people think that if they smile or say hi to someone, that they might get the virus too. So there's a lot of, it's kind of a downer in there. So it's a better venue is out outside, where everyone's more happy and enjoying themselves than in that grocery store. So thank you, Rich. Jeff Euler's wondering if Jory could bring him some breakfast. We would all appreciate that, Jory. If you're able to do that, that would be,
send me your request. I'll get them going here in a minute.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff Euler, for that very pertinent question. Okay. Kim Clausing is giving a site here you can go to, and I'm not exactly sure what that's for, but maybe she can tell us here. Kim, do you want to explain?
That's just for the cloth mask, just the recommendations.
Oh, the cloth mask. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Any further comments? Anyone from a phone that wants to say anything? Okay. Hearing none, I appreciate all your comments. Hopefully, people have gotten some ideas of what they can do to help. Obviously, active transportation plays an important role in this virus and in maintaining health of the general public. So we appreciate your comments. And if you have anything else to give us, please comment throughout the meeting. It doesn't have to be in this. If something comes to your mind, you can always bring it up in the chat box. So thank you so much. We're going to move on to public comment. Just a reminder that anyone who speaks, please state your name for the record, clearly for the record. So we're now open for public comment.
This is Dave Eltis.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Hey, so two quick things. One is, according to the League of American Bicyclists, Bike Month is still going on, although we're not really seeing any planned events, but May will still be Bike Month. And if you do end up having planned events, Cycling Utah maintains a calendar of events, and please do send them to dave@cyclingutah.com. The league has postponed many of the events until September. I think September 22nd will be National Bike to Work Day, for example. And also, normally at the meetings, I would hand out a copy of Cycling Utah's new issue. We'll be posting that online in the next few days. And it's also will be by next week at your favorite bike shop, which are all open because they're essential services. So thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Mayor, this is Hugh, and we received an email just before the meeting, and so if I can read through this really quickly, this is from Wendelin Knobloch, who lives in Magna, not able to participate in the meeting, but is curious in working with Magna Township, Salt Lake County, West Jordan, to bring about the construction of the western portion of the Bonneville Shoreline Trail with a connection to Tooele County. Says Salt Lake Valley with Magna Center would benefit from trail connectivity and currently has very little trail infrastructure. I believe there's a lot of interest in Tooele County and a trail connection to the Salt Lake Valley as well. Thank you very much, Mr. Knobloch. So just wanted to read that. We got that in. And just to note that we do have the western portion of the Bonneville Shoreline Trail recognized in the Regional Transportation Plan. And so I know Kim and others in Tooele County are always talking to us about a connection into Tooele, into the Salt Lake Valley. And we'll continue to look at those options. Thanks.
Great. Okay, thank you. It looks like Kim's excited about that as well. So, all right.
Can I add to that real quick? Sorry.
Yes.
So we had a site visit before everything kind of went crazy, and we had it with our commissioner, BLM, National Parks. I think I told everybody that we got a National Parks Trails plan grant, and Chris with Bike Utah came out, and we had a fantastic site meeting. So we are actively trying to work on trying to connect up to something to Salt Lake County. So just FYI, trying really hard. And when people came out, they're like, wow, what an amazing view. But shh, don't tell anybody about our view, okay? So it was a great visit.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item number four, which is the Regional Transportation Plan Act of Transportation Amendments. And Jory will give us an update on that, a recap.
All right, is this? Okay, can you hear me?
Yes,
all right, I see lots of head nods. I will now bring up what was sent out in your packets is the newly adopted Regional Transportation Plan amendment process. So I'm not planning on, so first of all, thank you, and I hope all your families are doing well. I'm a little bummed that conversation didn't keep going because it was really nice to hear from everybody and just the excitement and amount of walking and biking that's going on around the region. Same up here in Northwest Davis County. It is amazing. And before they shut down the state park, to anybody outside of the county, the line to Antelope Island was a mile long and it took almost an hour to get into it. I've never seen that in the 10 plus years I've been up here. So today I'd like to discuss the modification to the Regional Transportation Plan. We sent out the packet of the full process, which kind of goes over the overview. It has the categories and all the details. I'm not planning on going through the whole process today. I just want to highlight some of the key changes related to bicycle facilities. WFRC developed this in coordination with our transportation partners, so UDOT and UTA, local community stakeholders, and the public. We develop a multimodal long-range transportation plan. Every 4 years, the last plan was adopted in May of 2019. And it looks out to the horizon year of 2050. So if you haven't seen the current regional transportation plan, it's available on our website. You can click the first header bar, the Wasatch Choice 2050 header bar, and it has it along with the land uses and a lot of other information there. The amendment process for the RTP was modified over the last couple months and approved by the regional council at our last March council meeting. With the RTP amendment process, there are three levels. And so what I want to do is just walk you through that. And so if you're on the phone and you're looking at the packet that was sent, if you go down to page 4 of the RTP amendment process, you'll see a flow chart. And so this process was modified to help streamline the process while maintaining the rigor of the whole planning process. So we didn't want to, you know, kind of throw away the 4 years of our planning process because of a new project or a need comes on our radar. We wanted to still maintain that process, but not be burdensome to transportation partners or local communities. So level one type projects, you can see here, are in coordination with the regional growth committee chair and vice chair. And these types of projects, you know, really help us towards consistency with the regional transportation plan, unified plan, and the local plans. Level two type of modifications would be completed at the RGC Technical Advisory Committee and RGC meeting. And these would allow some less significant projects to fall in the category and would streamline the process. And so in the past, these level two board modifications would take nearly 6 months of total process to get into the regional transportation plan. And now they'll take only a month or two after we review them, coordinate with local communities, transportation partners, and then go to the technical advisory committee and regional growth committee. The level three type of projects are the more significant projects. And these are the ones that require a full amendment, requiring air quality conformity and a 30-day public comment period. Fortunately, with relation to active transportation, none of the active transportation projects fall within this category. And so any active transportation type project would fall within level one and two. And level one, just to note, and I'll go down to page 5 if you're on the if you're following along on a phone, on the phone, you can see that level one type of projects are for individual active transportation facilities. And so that means if, you know, your community has some new projects that weren't part of the planning process, or there were projects that, you know, were overlooked, or you're looking at additional connections and there's a handful or a couple projects, then most likely that would fall underneath a level one type of project. We would coordinate with the regional growth committee chair, vice chair, and then ultimately Andrew Gruber, our executive director, would approve that amendment into the plan. If, for instance, you are completing a new entire active transportation master plan for your community, and we know that there's at least 23 communities right now that are completing active transportation master plans, not individually necessarily, in mostly packages, right? There's the Northwest Davis active transportation. There's a South Weber County one. There's a South Davis one. There's Central Salt Lake County. There's the West Jordan, South Jordan, West Valley. Sandy Draper is doing one. And then also there have 3 more communities that were just recently approved for transportation land use connection, active transportation master plan updates. And so those full updates for an entire city would fall into the level two category, meaning we would review that internally and coordinate with transportation partners. And it's important that we kind of maintain the rigor of the process, that we, you know, require or review projects with UDOT. We review them with the local communities and make sure that everybody's on the same page and that there's no inconsistencies. And through those active transportation master plan updates, I know that UDOT has been had a seat at the table. And so it's been a really good and slick process. With that, those projects would be amended into the plan. Other things that we would need to have consideration or discussions on before the projects get amended in is what phase that the project would be needed. If the project falls within a base or a regional layer within our regional plan, we have the two layers, base being everything that's in a local master plan. Regional is kind of the higher level, higher, you know, more coarse, regionally connected type of routes. And so Hue would be working with communities to help assess that. So, you know, in summary, we want to be as helpful as possible with the future amendments, are really happy with the focus throughout the region on these 26 plus communities that are currently updating their active transportation plans, and looking forward to working with you in the road down the road. So, Mayor Schoblum, that kind of concludes my overview of active transportation within the regional transportation plan amendment process. But I'd be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Thanks so much, Jory. Appreciate that update. And does anyone have any questions for Jory?
I do. So I saw the within the city, like the small projects and then the citywide. And so the region, for example, the Tri-City in Weber County, South Ogden, Washington Terrace, and Riverdale, which level would that fall under?
That would fall under a level 2. And okay. I see this is a phone call. Who's the comment from?
Sorry, this is Travis from Weber Morgan Health Department.
Okay. Yeah, so the full city or the sub-region kind of master plans, what we're asking is that once they're they're finished, it's up to the city to decide if they want to incorporate that into their general plan, you know, take it through your planning commission, city council, and then amend it into the regional transportation plan, or you can make a request through Hue. And Hue has all these master plans on his radar of when he thinks they're going to be completed. And so he will be coordinating with the local communities on that. But it'd be a level 2, which is a fairly simple and streamlined process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Any further questions? Okay, appreciate that, Jory. I'm way excited about the South Weber Davis County portion of this, and we're working hard on getting that regional transportation in place. So thank you. Item number 5, we have a legislative recap by Lanice. We'll turn the time over to you.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the number 1 WFRC committee.
Hello. Yes.
Right? That's great. All right. My name is Lanice Davenport. I am the Government Relations Manager for the Wasatch Front Regional Council. And I'm happy to provide this legislative summary today. So let me kick it off by sharing my screen here. All right. It's starting. Okay. Is that worked? Do you guys see me?
So you said if we want help on our PowerPoint, we need to send it to you.
Can everybody see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Okay, so the 2020 legislative session, legislators filed and pondered more than 800 bills this session. And ultimately, the legislature passed and the governor signed 477 bills. Then the governor vetoed 5 bills. Just so you know, WFRC, we tracked 47 bills. We supported 14, we opposed 0, and we monitored 33. So another busy legislative session this year. I'm going to highlight these bills for you today. These are bills related to active transportation. And I'll start with the bills that did not pass and then end with those that did. So I'll briefly highlight each one of these, starting with House Bill 101. So House Bill 101 is the Distracted Driver Amendments Bill. It was sponsored by Representative Moss. The bill passed the Senate second reading, and then it got held in Senate rules and then died there. WFRC did monitor this bill. In summary, the bill would have prohibited drivers from using cell phones, basically manually manipulating their cell phones while driving. And if caught and convicted, it would have resulted in an infraction or a Class B misdemeanor. So again, the bill did not pass, but we may see this one again next session. So the next bill, House Bill 133, Trail Improvement Amendments Bill. This one was sponsored by Representative Winder. It did not pass as well. It died in committee. We did support this bill. WFRC did support this bill. In short, the bill would have allowed for the use of eminent domain for regionally significant trail system trails with a bunch of added guardrails, such as a trail had to cross 2+ cities or counties, it had to be adjacent to paved roads and only used for bicycle paths and sidewalks. The sponsor was very, very willing to amend the bill as needed so as to build support, but ultimately, like most eminent domain bills, this one had a fast death. Moving on to House Bill 236, the Safe School Route Evaluations Bill, sponsored by Representative Ballard, again did not pass. The bill would have required a school traffic safety committee create a plan with, along with recommendations for infrastructure improvements to help elementary, middle, and junior high school kids get to school safely. And then the plan would have been submitted to UDOT and the respective local government each year for feedback on the recommended improvements. So again, this bill didn't pass. We may see this one again next year. We'll keep our eye out for this. And then finally on the passed but didn't, I guess, is the House Bill 278. This is the Jordan River Amendments Bill, sponsored by Representative Acton. So the bill passed and then was vetoed by the governor. We staff recommended support of this bill. Basically, the bill would have added signs, lighting, fencing, et cetera, along the Jordan River Trail to help users distinguish the Jordan River Trail from all the other trails and spurs. It did have a $22,000 appropriation. And then when the governor vetoed this bill, he stated that even this small amount of money is not appropriate and not an appropriate expenditure for the state at this time, which is why he vetoed this bill. Okay, so moving on to the bills that did pass. House Bill 277, the Personal Delivery Devices Bill, sponsored by Representative Barlow. It's passed, it's been signed by the governor. We monitored this bill. Basically, this bill allows the operation of an electric autonomous vehicle to make deliveries of cargo and goods on sidewalks and on the side of highways. The delivery device will use automated technology with or without active control or monitoring by a person. The device will use the side of a highway or a sidewalk and must yield the right of way to others. So it has some other maximum speed and other regulation things in the bill. So if you're interested, take a look. This will be interesting to see these on the sidewalks, right, moving forward. Moving on to Senate Bill 216. This is recreational vehicle tax. So it was sponsored by Senator Okerlund. It has passed and been signed by the governor. So WFRC did not track this one. I found while I was prepping for this presentation, this bill. Basically, SB 216 allows counties to impose a tax, now up to 7%, on the rental of off-highway vehicles or recreation vehicles like ATVs and camping or travel trailers. The tax revenue can then be used to offset costs for county services like search and rescue, or it can be used to promote tourism and fund development, operation, or maintenance of a recreation facility that includes bicycle trails. All right, finally is House Bill 283. This is the Outdoor Recreation Commission Amendments Bill, sponsored by Representative Stenquist. It passed, it has been signed by the governor. WFRC did support this bill. So HB 283 does two things. It creates a 14-member Outdoor Adventure Commission, and then that commission is responsible for gathering information on Utah's recreational assets and developing a statewide strategy. So the strategy needs to identify sustainable revenue opportunities for Utah's outdoor rec and study things like the interface of federal and private lands, resources, programs, affordability, financing, and changing industry and economic growth. So it will consider the needs, impacts, opportunities of communities and users on outdoor recreation. It does have a sunset date of 2025. And that's it. If you'd like to see all of the bills that WFRC tracked or learn more about any of the ones that I presented on today, please go to visit our website, wfrc.org. We have a governmental affairs page and that has a bill tracker and a legislative session wrap-up document on there. So please take a look. And as always, feel free to reach out to myself or even Andrew or Katie at WFRC if you have any additional questions. And then thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my presentation today.
Mayor Shelbaum, I think you might be muted if you want to try and unmute yourself. Mayor, looks like we still have you on mute. If it's okay, I'll just toss over to Megan Townsend, who is going to review the Transportation and Land Use Connection Awards from this recent round of funding. Give me a thumbs up if that's all right. Okay, thanks, Megan and Mayor.
Hello, thanks Hugh, and feel free to jump in, Mayor Shoblum, if you get your mic unmuted. I am Megan Townsend. I'm our Transportation and Land Use Connection Program Manager. I am going to take a few minutes today to tell you about our 2020 TLC Transportation and Land Use Connection Awards. We were able to roll these awards out in March, giving our communities some good news right now. As a reminder, our Transportation and Land Use Connection Program is our planning technical assistance program for communities in the Wasatch Front Regional Council region. It's a partnership between the Wasatch Regional Council, Wasatch Front Regional Council, UDOT, UTA, and Salt Lake County. So the TLC program provides technical assistance to local communities to help them achieve their goals and plan for growth. The program helps communities implement changes to the built environment that reduce traffic and enable more people to easily walk, bike, and use transit. TLC implements the Wasatch Choice vision through projects, training, and community support. So I'm going to tell you about 17 new projects. I'm actually just gonna focus on four of them that are active transportation focused. This year we awarded 17 total. Nine of those were in the Salt Lake urbanized area, six in the Ogden-Layton urbanized area. There were two in Tooele County, and five of our projects this year were multi-jurisdictional, meaning more than one community will be participating. As far as active transportation plans, there are three major active transportation only plans. This is gonna be Harriman City active transportation plan. Kearns and Magna will be working on an active transportation plan together. Of course, you know, thinking about different routes between the two cities. And Taylorsville Active Communities Plan, focusing on pedestrian access kind of to and from different nodes throughout Taylorsville. And then finally, there is a regional effort. This is the Salt Lake County Seven Greenways Visioning Plan. I believe there are seven communities involved with this one. And it's going to be looking at the seven creeks that flow through mostly the east side of Salt Lake County and what access to those creeks looks like and what opportunities there are for recreation along those creeks. So these are just four of our 17 projects. All of the projects are online on our website. That's wfrc.org/TLC. You can peruse through those. And I'm checking the chat really quickly to see if there are any questions, which of course we can take some questions, I believe, if we have some time. Great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Megan. Appreciate that. Are there any questions for Megan before we move on? Okay, hearing none, Megan, thank you so much. And we will move on. Our next item, which is, Hugh, could you take over for me? I moved rooms and I didn't bring my second page. Please.
No problem there. I'm looking at the time. We are about 2 minutes out, and the next item
are you there?
Is a little update on the Golden Spoke West Haven segment that's been completed. Yep, I'm speaking. Can you hear me? Somebody else give me
Hugh
a thumbs up.
Van Wagner. Oh,
give me, okay, give me a nod.
Are you listening?
I can't hear you. Yes, I am.
Okay, we're moving on from Megan, but I've got to go.
I will take over. Thanks, Mayor. Not sorry about your connection there. And considering the time, I think we'll move on item 7. Want to keep everybody to this hour meeting. And we'll just jump to agency, city, county, and program updates. If there's anybody that wants to give an update, it's one of our partnering agencies.
Hugh, I'd like to give one update.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
I just wanted to let everybody know that as of last Friday, Davis County was given the record of decision on the NEPA project that we've been working on for 2 years with the Forest Service on the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. It's done. We're done. That was a painstaking process. First time I'd ever been through that. But 2 years in the making. That means that we have the go-ahead now to do construction projects on the Bonneville Shoreline Trail on federal property. And we have a big project plan for this year. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, congratulations, Jeff. I know it's been a real process for you. And I remember this body or the ATC is putting in a letter of support during that record of decision. And so congratulations to you, and really excited to see the new projects that are taking off and the commitment that the county has to the Bonneville Shoreline in Davis County. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
All right, if there's no other agency updates, just as a reminder, the next Active Transportation Committee meeting is June 10th, 2020 at 9:45 a.m. We anticipate a similar format. And again, until that time, please be safe. Keep your social distance, but get out and exercise. And just keep on your calendars, like Mr. Iltis mentioned earlier, there's a lot of planned events, a lot of conferences getting rescheduled. So just keep an eye out for those updates from WFRC and other outlets. And with that.
Heidi said she can't unmute her phone.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
There you go. Perfect. Oh, gotcha.
Thanks, Tori. Yep. Someone muted me in the meeting. So I just have a quick Bike Month update. So in the past, UDOT has done kind of the statewide bike poster and mailed that out to, rec centers and coffee shops and breweries and bike shops. And just in light of all of that, all of those businesses being closed, we won't be doing a mailer this year, but we'll be doing a digital Bike Month poster. And similar to what we did last year with a Strava challenge, we'll be doing another UDOT Move Utah Strava challenge that will include walking, biking, digital activities, and inside like trainer rides, just to be kind of in light of people having to socially distance and, potentially be working out inside their homes. So keep an eye out for that content, and we'll be sending it with to the Wasatch Front ETC kind of as it's available in the next few weeks.
Awesome. Thanks, Heidi. Okay. With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Heidi with a motion, and Rich, can I take you as a second?
Yes, you may.
Member Heyer? Terrific. Thank you so much. Everybody, appreciate your efforts to join us today, and stay well, stay safe, stay healthy.
Thanks so much.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Jeff, what do you want for breakfast, buddy?